Welcome to the Doghouse here on NTNRadio.com. Don't forget to check out our Patreon account. That's patreon.com/NTN. We got a special guest in the studio. Now, I don't want you to be shy. You can talk right into the mic. You got your headphones on.
Which one's the mic?
The mic is the thing in front of you. Welcome back, Ken.
Oh, that's what it was.
Yeah.
Okay, so, all right.
You got this?
I just saw this big, long black thing in front of me. I was looking for Warren.
Whoa. So Warren has a big, long black thing?
No, but I know that's what he goes after.
Oh. I was like, well, you know more about Warren than I care to find out.
You don't watch very carefully.
Me?
Yeah.
Well, watch what?
Warren, what he does.
No, I don't pay attention at all. Okay.
You actually think he works in that other room?
No, I know he does. He just looks at porn.
That's right.
I gave Warren a 3-week suspension last week for saying dumb things. So
wow. Wait a minute. If you penalize Warren for saying dumb things,
I should never be here.
I was going to say, he'll not be here for a few years.
Yeah, he won't be here for a few years. You won't be here for a few years. And I'm not doing the show alone. That's what I've decided.
Okay.
But yes, welcome back, Ken Kaplan.
Yeah. Well, for a while. For a short stint.
For a short stint. Yeah. How has traveling the globe been? We've been telling everybody you're globetrotting.
It's been great. Yeah, it's been wonderful. I love it. Getting to see new cultures.
Yeah, well, I said that you hooked up with Drew and you're going with Neil, whatever his name is.
No, because I would take my own life.
I can't think of that guy's name.
Neil Bailey.
Neil Bailey.
Yes.
And con man Drew.
Neil Bailey, but I don't think Drew's traveling with Neil Bailey anymore.
No, I don't think he ever did. I think he was to stay in the office.
I think he did. I think he was the water boy when they went to Africa.
Oh, was he?
I think so.
That's more than I thought he would have done.
Yeah. That was it. Or maybe he got gas every now and then. Sold the tanks.
I was just saying, I had gas yesterday. It was horrible. Anyways, wow. Hey, before we jump into like race coverage and stuff like that, I want to talk a little trash because in case you people don't, a lot of you people are not in our World Superbike MotoGP pool.
Shame on you.
And it's worth it just for the smack talk.
Yeah, there was some good smack talk
going
on.
There's been some good smack talk. And I'm going to say this on the air so that next year, when it comes true, I can point back to this show, which I don't remember the number, but when I know the number, I will point back to this show and I will be like, hey, remember on this episode I said this.
Okay.
So this is what I'm going to say. Last week, before we came on the air, and I didn't really give it much this is show 471.
Mm-hmm.
Road Racing World Magazine.com had an article talking about whether or not Mark Marquez is the GOAT.
Yeah, I read that.
All right, number one, there is only one GOAT. His name's Ricky Carmichael.
He is the only official GOAT.
He's the only GOAT.
Yeah.
Anybody else as the GOAT is blasphemy.
I would agree with that.
Right? And Road Racing World should send a letter, apologies.
Until somebody goes undefeated for an entire season, they can't claim that.
Somebody says, I think I can beat Ricky Carmichael. Right? Because even the king of Supercross, even Villopoto, even Dungey will tell you, I'll lose a race to Ricky.
Okay.
Everybody.
He's getting up there now.
In his prime, right?
In his prime.
You know, I mean, nobody will lose to him now. No.
Yeah.
Maybe, who knows? I bet he'd still pull podiums.
I wouldn't argue against that, but I don't know. Who knows what he does? And he was designing tracks for a while. I don't know.
Yeah.
I can't comment on that. Maybe he could.
But anyways, people are saying, oh, is Marquez, Marquez is the GOAT, because he's beating Rossi. He's beating an old Rossi.
Well, yeah. I mean, okay. In my opinion, it's way too early in his career to even talk about things like that, right?
Yeah.
His first two
championships.
Yeah, but who knows? Maybe he'll get an injury next week and never be the same again. You can't say that.
And
maybe he'll drop off dramatically like Lorenzo did.
Well, and this is where I'm going to say, this is the trash talk part of the show.
Right.
I'm going to say next year on the Honda, Lorenzo spanks Marquez.
Okay.
Like who's your daddy spank?
Okay. Well,
just smacking his ass as he's going by, they do at night.
I can see the smack in the ass part, but
like they do at night in the hotel,
but
on the track.
You never know what's going to happen next year relative to Honda in general, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I I don't see it. I think, I'm sorry, what has Jorge Lorenzo done? Did he win two races this year?
On a Ducati, an obviously inferior bike.
You're saying an inferior bike. This isn't like in comparison to when Casey Stoner rode the Ducati.
Oh, listen, and there's the other thing. Like, you know, everybody's like, whoa, Marquez is going to end up with all these records. Just because you have a lot of records don't make you the GOAT, because that would make Josh Hayes the GOAT of American Superbike racing, and that is blasphemy.
Well, it depends what you mean by GOAT in his case.
GOAT is greatest of all times.
Yes, his no, I be, know. I know what the acronym means, but I could see him being a total GOAT.
Yeah, okay? Well,
yeah, right.
But you know, like, so I don't give credence. I don't give any specialness to. Oh, he has this many records. He has this many championships, right? My idea of GOAT is you take everybody that you think is in your GOAT conversation and you put them out there on the track on equivalent bikes, all in their heyday. You assume the older guys will ride the new styles or whatever, because they would have had they been alive in this time. Mm-hmm. And you say, who wins that race? And it's not Marquez.
No, I don't think it. I agree. I don't think it's Marquez.
I
reserve the right to change my mind in 10 years.
Yeah, I probably won't, but I do.
I doubt I will either, because that would be pretty dramatic for him to achieve a record that would say that. But it's like, possible.
Like, I hate saying this because of the way he's not doing the greatest job in the world with Moto America, but I'd almost say Wayne Rainey might be the GOAT. Three championships on an inferior bike on his way to the fourth before his accident on a bike that was by far not the best bike in the field.
Yeah, I don't know.
Right? And he won those on racing skill.
I don't know. You're going to find certain people that are Rossi fanboys that will say that
and
Rossi listen,
and I'm not saying Rossi ain't in the conversation.
Yeah,
Ago?
Yeah, I think that probably he would get more votes than anybody else, Agostini.
Yeah.
I would think so. And, you know, Marquez, you can't say that because Marquez came right up to his record and didn't break it, right?
Yeah. So. And Marquez's first two championships will be a little tainted because the fast guys crashed and got injured those years, right? Which is, you know, you have to finish to win. We always say that, right?
Yeah. I mean, in my opinion, and I know a lot of people aren't going to agree
with
this.
No one cares. Oh, no, go ahead.
Okay. I would say, I look at the ability for somebody to get on a bike that they're not familiar with and win right away, and have and a bike that has been demonstrated as difficult, very difficult to ride. And that, in my opinion, was Casey Stoner when he went to Ducati. That doesn't make you the greatest of all time, but I think it's an amazing accomplishment what he did on Ducati.
Well, I think you got to put Stoner in the conversation of that, although he only has two championships, and he's not like Mr. Wins,
no,
right? But the fact that he went to a bike that was by far an inferior bike,
yeah,
and won a championship.
As far as I'm concerned, Phil Lorenzo proves that he can win a championship on a bike other than the Yamaha. At Yamaha's peak, by the way, too, is when he won his championships. I don't think you can compare any of these riders because it's very, very different.
Yeah,
I think it's very, very different. You know, that being said, I'll completely disagree with you about Lorenzo and Marquez next year, only because I think Lorenzo's significantly on the downslide in his career. He never really proved that he could dominate on the Ducati, which is what they were counting on, the way he did on the Yamaha. I just don't see it. We'll see. I could be totally wrong.
I
don't think so. You know my opinion of Lorenzo. He's a quitter.
Yeah. Well, I think next year
he should have rainbows and ponies on his livery.
He probably does. I think next year you're going back to putting Lorenzo on the best, arguably the best bike in the field, and that's going to make a difference.
Yeah.
It's going to be a huge step up from what he's riding.
Well, do you think that there's any rider out there right now that if you put him on the Ducati would do better than Lorenzo? Well, we already know Dovizioso is doing better than Lorenzo and has been doing better than Lorenzo since he arrived.
Petrucci's taking the... I'll tell you what, next year, Petrucci on a factory ride will be interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not all that impressed. Here's the other thing that I think tarnishes Marquez, is I'm not all that impressed with the other riders in the field right now.
No, I really don't. That you're right.
I don't think it's a strong field.
You're right. But that was always the comparison that Rossi got against Agostini, because right. Rossi, a number of his championships came against very, very weak competition.
Right.
And you're right. I don't see the competition really being that strong right now.
Yeah. You have an old Rossi.
Mm-hmm.
You have Lorenzo, arguably the best competition, who moved to a crappy bike.
I don't think the Ducati's a crappy bike. I don't think so.
At the time he moved, it wasn't the greatest bike.
No, it was. Dovizioso was winning races on it when he went.
Not a lot, not competitively. I mean, he won a couple races. I think
he
was.
He beat Marquez. He beat Marquez in a number of races, Dovizioso did. So why did it take Lorenzo to this past year to win a race on the Ducati?
Well, if you look at it, and I saw
what was his average finishing position?
Wait,
too?
I saw a stat.
Yeah,
and it said
he won quicker than anybody else,
and he went quicker than anybody else.
Yeah, he quicker than anybody else, which by the way isn't true because Casey Stoner clearly won in less races than that. But as compared to a number of other big name riders that went to Ducati, okay, that's all well and fine, okay. But the point is that this Ducati was way more developed. The Panigale was way more developed, the GP, whatever it was, GP14, when he came there, GP16, it was 16, when he came there, was way more developed than the equivalent ride when Stoner went there, way, way more developed.
Oh, yeah.
Stoner rode a horrible bike that could not win and did.
Yeah, no, I'm not arguing
okay.
that fact at
Lorenzo
all.
Lorenzo rode a bike that was proven it could win and didn't. So you could say, okay, it took him 24 races to win his first race. Yeah, but he was on a bike for 23 of those races that were capable of winning. And what was his average finishing position, like ninth?
I think it was parking in the back.
Yeah, yeah, right.
I'm just going to park this bike over there in the thing.
I'm going to say right now, so you can play this back when you play yours back.
This is going to be our playback.
So. I think Danny Pedrosa is going to be having a good chuckle next year. I think he will. We just wait and see. I think Danny Pedrosa will say, yeah, how's Lorenzo working out for you now?
Ooh, okay. I like the smack talk.
Yep.
I like the smack talk.
We'll see. I don't think the current group of riders right now is all that competitive, but maybe some of the riders that are out there are on really crappy bikes, okay? And maybe if they were on better bikes, they would be more competitive. Maybe Alex Rins has got something if he was on the right bike. Maybe Zarco if he was on the right bike, right?
You know, I think Zarco.
The Yamaha's gone. Let's admit it. The Yamaha's gone to crap.
Yeah.
Okay. Look at Vinales. I mean, he's like just suffering on that bike right now.
Yeah.
Rossi's doing better than Vinales is in overall over the course of the races. But what the hell's happened to Yamaha? It's gone from being
a potential winner
in every race. Every race, it's been a competitive bike in every race, and it's only had a few races this year where it was, you know, where it was arguably equivalent to the Honda. The Honda right now looks to be head and shoulders above the other. And haven't we had this conversation years ago about how good the Honda was and how it was going to be screwed up by the when they changed the racing
ECM.
Software, the ECM?
Yep.
Yeah. So, and what happens? And this is what happened, right? Yeah. You end up with okay. Either Honda's doing a better job of cheating than Yamaha is.
Right, and that's what it comes down to.
Probably.
Who finds the way around
the
software?
Yeah, so shame on Yamaha for not being
able to do it. Well, right. It's like Yamaha. Like, here's what I don't understand, right? Mm-hmm. And eventually we'll get to. I haven't seen Ken in a while, so we have to have these conversations. Yeah. We'll get to talking about the races and stuff, maybe. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I don't understand. Yamaha, Honda does great in MotoGP. The Hondas, the Fireblades in World Superbike, you might as well ride a bicycle around the track.
Yeah, big disappointment.
Big disappointment. The Yamahas are about mediocre in both. Ducatis are a little better than mediocre.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Yamahas look a little better in World Superbike than they do consistency-wise. Yeah,
well, it's hard to say because Lowe's doesn't actually finish races.
Yeah, that's true. That is true, but I don't understand it. Well, let's look at it this way. The GP bikes are custom built bikes. They're not road bikes.
Right.
The Fireblade is a road bike, basically, with a little tweaking done to it. And it obviously is not, as competitive as it should be to run a World Superbike. And I remember the new Fireblade, when it came out, was supposed to be the cure to all their racing ills.
Right. Yeah. It was. They've totally taken themselves out of the racing picture on World Superbike so that nobody knows the bike's stalled.
Yeah, right.
Because
yeah.
it doesn't even get a mention.
Yeah, I know.
Like, they were like, oh my God, Jake Gagne's in the top 15 over the weekend. It was like, oh, woo.
Yeah, I know.
It's been pretty bad. It's been horrible. Okay. I guess we should start getting into a little bit of racing.
Yeah, or we can talk a little more controversy, how Johnny Ray is destroying World Superbike. We can talk about that.
It's yep. a waste.
It is. It's like,
you know,
it's painful for me to watch the races now.
It is, and I'm going to say this, and there'll be some hatred, so if there's hatred, send it to Warren at ntnradio.com. He doesn't check his email anyways.
I know he doesn't.
And that shows you how much I care. You know, Johnny Ray is the perfect example of a GOAT conversation that I don't like.
Mm-hmm.
Four championships, record in wins, and all this kind of stuff. But do I think he's the greatest of all time? I don't know. I think he's by far on the best bike.
Yeah, he's on the greatest bike maybe of all time.
He might be on the greatest bike ever to ride in World Superbike.
Right.
And, you know, people say, well, what about Tom Sykes?
Tom Sykes is the fastest guy on the track for about three laps.
Yeah.
And that's it. And he used to remember last year and prior years, the big issue with Tom Sykes was that he would fade at the end.
Yeah.
We'd like the last 4 to 6 laps of the race, his tires would go off. He couldn't maintain his tires very well. Tires would go off and he'd drift back and that'd be it. Well, he's flipped that around. He's made a major improvement. Now it happens in the first 6 laps.
Yeah, so at least we get our disappointment over and done with early.
Yeah. Yeah.
I look at it and I say, you know, stats-wise, Johnny Ray is the GOAT of World Superbike right now.
Based on stats alone,
Based on stats alone.
Yeah, because he's going to win his fourth championship in a row.
Right, but I don't, and he has record wins, too.
Yes,
right?
He has record wins.
But I don't know if
Has he got the record wins, or he's now passed? I don't know if he's got the record wins.
Yeah,
it does?
He passed them like 2 rounds ago.
Yeah, he passed. But I thought he moved up in position, but anyway. Whatever. Maybe he did.
No, he took over the lead.
Okay.
Like 2 rounds ago or a round ago, like that.
So why does he stay there?
Because I think the MotoGP paddock sees the same thing I do.
They don't think he's as great as you think.
He's not as great a riding talent as he's on the greatest bike.
And I also think he's a little old based on when people enter MotoGP.
Right. He's a little old, and if you're the World Superbike champ, you can't go to Pramac Ducati or something
right.
like that.
Yeah. Yeah, he'd have to come to a factory team at a minimum. I thought Honda was a good fit for him because I thought it would be interesting racing between him and Marquez.
I don't think it's close. I think Marquez spanks him. I
don't know if that's true or not. I don't know. I don't know how he would do on a GP bike. I really can't say that. But I can say with certainty he is destroying World Superbike.
He's ruining it.
He's absolutely ruining
it. He is the World Superbike what Jared Mees is to flat track right now.
Yeah. Yeah. He's just dominating.
You know, Jared Mees, you take away the disqualification and one fluke race, and he's won everything.
Yeah. So this is it just takes the drama out of it. And, you know, they try to talk it up. Dorna tries to talk it up. And they were talking about how important this weekend was for Marco Melandri. Right? And, yeah, he showed a little in race 2. Race 1 was kind of an embarrassment.
Glory days have passed him by.
Yeah, I mean, he's not a young guy anymore, right? No. And I don't know. I think he tried everything that he had. Chaz Davies missed his opportunity. He missed his opportunity. He had to win. He had to beat either the year before or last year. He needed to beat.
When he had Rhea. That big push at the end of that season.
Yeah, he missed his chance. So now, as it stands right now, I noticed they were talking about all the smack talk going back and forth between Ray and Sykes. I don't understand that, right?
I think Sykes is mad.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure he's mad. Like, I'm sure he's frustrated.
A year and a half ago or 2 years ago, I read an article saying that Sykes was a little bitter because Kawasaki designed the bike around the settings and stuff that Ray wanted and not what Sykes wanted.
Yeah, I think that's all bullshit.
Thanks, Ken.
Well, I just came back, so I'm allowed.
I'm going to leave that in just so that everybody knows what a douchebag Ken is. because I'm not going to do the show till Tuesday, don't forget.
Okay.
That's the truth. But, I don't think it was. I think at the time, I think Sykes was only a year off of being the champ.
Mm-hmm.
A little bitter because they changed the bike for the new guy. And I think that bitterness stays.
I think right now he's bitter that he's bitter that Johnny Ray's staying with the team for 2 more years. That's what he's bitter about. He was going to be the number one rider. If Ray leaves, he would have complete control of the destiny of the bike. You know, he's not, he's hard on the tires. Johnny Ray is not hard on the tires. That was his problem the prior two seasons. Tires would come off, with, I said. Now what's his excuse? What's his excuse now? Look, if I want to pick someone to qualify, John Sykes would be my guy I would pick for qualifying. And then I would park the bike. And that's it.
Yeah. I would qualify this bike first.
That's right. I'd get the Tissot watch and I'd park the bike. You know, because otherwise I know where he's going to finish, right? He's going to finish like between 4th and 7th. That's kind of where it is, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Unfortunately, that seems to be the case. And it's a shame because he used to be fast.
But remember, they always talked up this great competitive battles that were going to happen between the KRT team. It never hasn't happened. It happens off the track. That's about it.
Yeah, very rarely do we see them battling.
Mainly, very, very, very rarely.
Mainly, it's Davies. You know, Davies is doing like a Rossi impression, right? Davies is like, I'm going to qualify crappy, race through the field, and then try and catch the leader. It's like, come on, Davies. Get your act
I think
down.
Davies, he's never been a great qualifier. You look at the number of pole positions he had. He had like one or two in his whole career.
Yeah.
That's
he's
not a good qualifier, but I don't know. It's sad, you know. That and you know the Dorna rules, the grid reshuffle really hasn't changed anything.
No, that was useless.
Doesn't matter. Ray can start from 9th position. He's just going to track you down, and then he's going to get ahead, and that's it. Once he gets ahead, it's over. The race is over. Park it. The second race this week was interesting because it took a long time for him to get past Vandermark. But Vandermark had like a 2-second lead and couldn't hold it.
Yeah.
Right. And he just tracks him down, and it's pick up 2/10 a lap, and that it'd be.
He knows he's so much faster that he doesn't even panic coming from 9th.
No, he doesn't.
He
have
just
to.
Clips a guy here, clips a guy there.
Yep.
He doesn't worry about it, you know, because he just knows he's that much faster,
right?
You know, and I think there are guys out there like Javi Flores.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're starting to see him break out a little bit.
Yeah, but are any of these guys going to be able to challenge him?
It's not a matter of do I think the rider can. I don't think the bike can.
Yeah, I think that bike is so much stronger than any other bike in the
field. Like, that's the problem. Do I think Davies could beat him if they were on identical bikes? Probably.
Yeah.
Do I think Vandermark could beat him on identical bikes?
And I think next year we're going to see what a 4-cylinder Ducati next season they're talking about now.
They're
and then that
about
big
it.
That big rush of acceleration that they have on the straightaways pretty much goes away. Now, they gain on the top end, but they lose the low-end grunt. That's always been the Ducati's way. So I don't think things necessarily get better. And then nobody knows what the situation's going to be with the change in the power curve in that chassis. So this is not likely to change. So, I mean, right now, here, I'll pick the 2020 winner of World Superbike, Johnny Rea, right now.
You know,
I'm not even going to bother with 2019. I'm going right to 2020.
You're just
going to
say he's going to be a 6-time-in-a-row champ.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And that, to me, that stinks up racing.
I agree. I hated it
when Josh Hayes was doing it.
Yep.
I hated it when, I just hate that.
I do, too. I do, too.
Except for, like, Supercross. I think it's Supercross.
Yeah, the only drama in the race is when he's going to pass for the lead, and then I can go do something else.
Yeah.
Right?
Pretty much. Like, I found myself...
I go fast forward on the video, and I'm watching the video on it, and he gets the lead. It's like, okay, I'll jump ahead, like, 30 minutes at that point.
Yeah.
I couldn't this one because it was close to... it wasn't that far from the end of the race, but... in the first race, I could have just... once he took the lead, I could have just skipped the rest of the race and gone to the podium.
Yeah. It was done.
Yeah,
and there's
not like there's anybody coming up. I mean, we could have hoped. I mean, why is it we get two Americans in World Superbike now and neither one of them gets on a decent bike? Isn't that frustrating?
Yeah,
and they're consistently finishing just outside the points for the most part.
Yeah, I think Gagne scored 2 points.
I think he scored 2. Yeah,
so 4 points this weekend.
Oh, okay.
And Jacobsen was 16th and. Yeah. He retired. He had some bike. I don't remember if he had a crash or a bike issue.
And the sad thing is, I think that's a perfect example of a bike that's just not there. Because PJ Jacobsen's a proven winner in World Supersport.
Yeah.
He's proven he can do it. He's a very, very talented rider, and he's finishing out
of the
points.
The bike's horrible.
It's a horrible bike.
The Honda's horrible.
Yeah, it's horrible bike.
It's just horrible.
Yeah.
Now, did you watch... You know, screw you people. I know people are going to be mad, but screw you people. Did you watch Laguna Seca?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did you watch the Moto America 2 at Laguna Seca?
No, I didn't.
Did you watch...
You know, we could talk about Moto America if you want, but it probably isn't going to help you get tickets in the future or passes.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's all up to Warren.
Okay. Oh, that's right. And then you get yours.
I get my armband. Yeah, right. Thank you, Lauren, you jerk. Did you see how well Heron did on the attack performance before he started running out of like tires?
Yeah, right.
You know, I mean, like, he was battling up with these Hondas, and it's like his first time running those tires and all this kind of stuff.
It shows you how bad.
It shows you how bad the Hondas are.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And that just kind of breaks my heart that the Honda that we have two Americans and they're both on the same crappy bike,
right,
and they're not going to get better.
They're not going to get a better ride because of it. People are going to say, "Oh well, you didn't do well on the Honda,"
and the bike's not going to get better, right? No. I don't want to. I'm not knocking Jacobson, Gagne, or Camille.
No, they're just.
None of them are development riders.
No, they're not. They're not development riders, and not only that. Let's talk Gagne because that's Gagne and Jacobson. These are both. They're both in what, their mid 20s now.
Jacobson's probably like 23. I think Gagne's a little older, right? Isn't he like 25?
Yes, I thought they were both like mid 20s. But anyway, you can look it up. I mean, Jacobson's been around long enough now that I gotta think he's probably 24, 25. I would guess.
And 24.
Yeah, 24.
He'll be 25 next month in August.
Yeah, that's, I mean...
He's getting old. He's getting long in the tooth.
He's getting old. He's got to get a very good ride.
And
quickly, and it's just not going to happen.
Gagne turns 26 in August. So.
Yep, so these guys are not young guys.
Yeah.
I mean, they're getting a chance on a bike with no chance, which is unfortunate for them.
Right.
And this has happened, I mean, you know, this was the whole story of Nicky Hayton. He was on that Honda, and it was just, and he did well considering how bad the bike was.
Right, he was bringing up the six, but that's all rider.
Yeah, it's all rider. It's not the bike at all, right? So, yeah. I mean, now there's, you would think that everybody wants to get on a Kawasaki now that they have to share, the factory team has to share everything with the satellite teams. That it'd be nice if they put an American on a Kawasaki. And we know that Jacobson did well when he was on a Kawasaki.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
But I think the Honda, I think being on that Honda bike is going to hurt both those guys.
Yeah.
You know, that's just
so
kinda...
in World Superbike this week, let's see. Who won? Who could it be? Oh,
I did
make
up some points on you guys the first race.
Why?
Because Davies finished second but started seventh, so I got 27 of your 26 points.
Yeah, I hate this new way you're doing it with the qualifying points.
I like it.
Yeah, of course you do, because you don't have to pick winners. That's why.
Well, you got to pick somebody that's going to race good, because everybody's sitting there on Ray.
Well, let me ask a question. So do you get the qualifying points in both races?
Yes.
So think about that. So you should pick the guy that you think is going to qualify the worst. So you might as well pick, I don't know.
No, because if he doesn't score top 10, you don't get the points.
You don't get the points. So you got to get somebody who's going to finish
top 10. Well, that's why I did that, so that people weren't sitting there going, oh, PJ's going to qualify 18th. I'm going to take that and hope he scores some points and get 18 points every week.
Yeah, but anyway.
Ray's just been dominant. I don't see that changing.
No, he passed dominant about 30 laps ago. Okay, he's beyond dominant. Okay, it's like for the other racers, it's just demoralizing.
Yeah, it is.
It's completely demoralizing. And I imagine Michael Vandermark, who's an extremely talented racer. I mean, I can just imagine he heard the music from Jaws playing, you know, the whole afternoon.
Right. Dun dun dun.
Yeah, what's he going to do? I mean, there's nothing he could do about it. He was like probably racing his. It's a miracle that Vandermark did not wreck the bike today. It's a miracle. He didn't. So
yeah.
Because he was like riding beyond the limits all the time just to get...
To try and keep that lead.
Just to try and hang on to as best he could. He was like taping tight race lines. He was doing everything he could. And I'm sure he knew that this was like just a matter of delaying it.
Yeah.
And then Marco Melandri just sort of sat there and watched, the attempted overtakes for like three laps that Johnny Rea did, which slowed them down enough that he had... The chance for the podium. So that's what, I mean, it's what it's come down to, right?
Yeah.
It's come down to when Ray is going to take the lead and who he's going to pass on the way to the lead.
How fast does he take the lead?
And I was thinking, you know, since they started the grid reshuffle, which was, what, two seasons ago?
Yeah, two now.
It hasn't proven anything. It hasn't changed anything, though.
It proved one thing.
Yeah.
that the Kawasaki's by far the best bike, and they need to do something else. Even with the down power, even with the other stuff they did this year. It didn't matter.
Because everybody got a little bit of that anyways. But when they first started the grid reshuffle, the ending order could almost be predicted before the races. It was going to be like Rea, Davies, and maybe throw in somebody else. The third right. person would change.
Sykes, Melandri, Van Barth, Rea. It would float around a little bit.
Yeah, but it was always going to be. It was for the longest time. It was Rea or Davies, right? And that's just the way it was, right?
Yeah.
So the grid reshuffle hasn't changed that because it was supposed to give people a chance. Well, I guess it gave Van der Mark a chance today. Right? It gave him a chance.
I guess. It gave him a chance. I mean, he got second, which is, other than his two wins, he's got 2 seconds for the season, 2 wins.
Yeah.
And his
two wins were 1 weekend, the same weekend.
Yeah. So. And he got 4 seconds scattered throughout the weekend.
Yeah.
Throughout the thing. It's horrible. It's really crapping up watching it.
Yeah. And they might as well just kill the grid reshuffle and just, like, have the podium thing from the beginning.
Or make...
Go right to the podium.
Make Ray do a Le Mans start.
No. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, okay, you got to stand in your starting grid. Yep. We're going to launch all the bikes around you. Then you have to run into the pits and get on your bike.
Yeah. Either that or make him do one lap in the opposite direction of everybody else.
And give everybody else jousting sticks. Woo-hoo! Yeah, right. Dang! Something. You're a bad person.
Yeah,
you're a bad person.
I say they could save a lot of money and make for more exciting racing if they would do the qualifying and then just hand the trophy over to Ray and be done with it. Okay, everybody. Free pizza for everybody in the stands to be done.
Go home.
Yeah, go home.
Tracy Ullman. Go home.
Yep.
Go home.
Yep.
I don't get. They have to.
Maybe they watch the races to see if there's a chance that Johnny Rea will wreck. He has missed shifts and has wrecked.
Yeah, but
Doesn't do it very often.
The same thing though. I don't want to sound like a jerk, but the same thing's kind of happening in MotoGP with Marquez
right now. Yeah, it is.
Right?
It is. Yep.
And right now, unfortunately, right now, motorcycle racing, this sucks because flat track Jared Mies is winning everything.
Right.
Eli Tomac has been completely dominating in motocross until this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
The best races of the season, I think, have been like the 450, the singles flat track races.
Mm-hmm.
Where you got people battling it out for the lead, because other than that, you don't really have that good of racing anywhere.
No, it's not. I mean, there isn't true competition going on in most of the series.
I hate saying this, but Moto America's been better racing. If you look at the racing wise, than a lot of the other series.
Well, I'm sure it makes the weekend. I'm sure for 7 or 8 people. So
yeah, the 8 people that can watch.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
Mm-hmm. But I've been watching it on the YouTube. The YouTube.
Yeah.
But
that'll make them a lot of money, won't it?
Yeah. They don't even have enough subscribers to make money yet.
Yeah. That's good for the track owners, isn't it? To say that most of the watches of it are occurring on YouTube.
Yeah, that's always a positive.
Yeah.
But anyways, you're being mean. Mm. Let's jump over to motocross. They were in Michigan at Red Bud. Just another roll it up, light it, inhale, and exhale.
If Tomac finds a way to actually lose the championship this season, I think he should take his own
life. It's happening because he lost the points lead.
Yeah, I know.
He lost the points. Your boy Ken Roczen, who I didn't think we were going to see, he won the first race because Tomac had that problem.
I pretty much thought he was done after the last round of injuries that he had.
Yeah, he's one injury away from never using his arms again.
I don't think he cares.
Yeah,
I don't think he cares, although we wouldn't be out there if he did.
Well, I think he cares, but I think he doesn't. I think he was such an idiot, he didn't like save up any of the money that he got, and he's realized, if I don't race.
Yeah, right.
I'm screwed.
Barcia, he's one injury away from not being able to put a tux on.
Yeah, right? And drive his Acura NXS to meetings.
Right.
And look like a jerk. Warren be like, I think I look classy. I'm going to punch you in the face for that. Musquin did the 2-1 and took the overall this weekend, which is only the second weekend that Tomac hasn't won since the beginning of the season. But Tomac had a 36 and a 9. I feel like I can pull a 36.
Yeah, they don't award points for 36.
No.
Yeah. I didn't think so.
And he got a 9, so he just had a miserable weekend.
Hey, you got to look at it the right way. In the second race, he got a top 10.
That's actually true. But he actually is now 3 points behind Marvin Musquin, who I think only has 2 weekend wins, you know, 2 overalls.
If he loses it, honestly, we've had this conversation about Eli Tomac before.
He's done it before.
He's done it before, and if he finds a way to lose the championship this year, I don't know where he goes from there.
What do you do if you're Kawasaki?
I don't know.
He finally won Supercross despite his best efforts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? And you're like, yep. All right, yeah. And I mean, by far, there's been 4 or 5 races where he's been 4 seconds a lap faster than everybody else in the field.
Yep.
But he doesn't bring home the bacon. He don't fry it up in a pan.
He don't fry it up, huh?
He don't fry it up.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he's got to win the championship this year or give it up. He's got to. He can't let another one slip away. I don't know. I mean, he's a young guy, but it's a young man's sport. Ask Chad Reed. You know, it's a young man's sport.
Yeah.
So Chad Reed won all his wins are when he was under the age of 27, and he continued to race after that. And then he basically, for the most part, watched everybody else win.
Yeah.
So,
except for those people he blocked.
Except for those people he blocked or people he took down.
The people he wrecked.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know. Barcia is looking much better this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's in shape. He's racing hard. He's set fast. He's been leading races. Mm-hmm. I'm happy with that. I was shocked as anything to see Ken Roczen win.
That is pretty amazing. I thought that was pretty much he was done.
Yeah.
I think he was just going through the motions the rest of the season. He's just not very healthy.
But I won't, you know, if it had been any other rider, I'd be like, oh my God, that's the story of the century. But I don't think he likes racing, so screw him.
I don't know.
Musquin's your points leader by 3 points.
Can he
give up the red point?
The problem is Musquin's not consistent, so I don't know that he can.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's French, right? I mean,
yeah, exactly.
He's not going to win.
Exactly.
He's not going to win everything because,
you know,
he definitely ain't going to win a World War.
No, he's out there waving the white flag and Tomac's at 36th place and he can't do anything about it.
Yeah. So. And your chief championship rival finished in 36th and you only got 3 points on him.
Mm-hmm.
So you're pretty much done. We got MotoGP coming up this week, Sachsenring,
yep.
And the Pedrosa announcement. Keep your eyes peeled.
Yep.
Right?
Well, what do you think? Let's speculate. Where do you think
Let's
speculate. Where do you think Pedrosa's going?
World Superbike, Kawasaki Race Team.
We know where he's not going.
The new Tom Sykes.
No, he's not.
No!
We know he's not going to Ducati.
He ain't going to Ducati. Ain't going to Yamaha.
He's not going to Yamaha.
Ain't going to KTM.
Right. Okay. He's not going to KTM. So where do you think he's going? Who's he going to displace if he displaces anybody?
I don't know.
I think we'll know whose ride he's going to get before we hear from him where he's going. So that means something.
You know, I don't know if there's any good rides. Here's the bottom line is I kind of feel like, but I think they already have their riders lined up, would be like Tech 3 Yamaha. I mean, Tech 3 KTM, which is what it'll be next year.
Yeah.
If you're KTM and you don't go after Danny Pedrosa, I think that's a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Or Aprilia.
I don't know.
Envy Agusta?
Yeah, I don't know. Danny Pedrosa has, number one, he hasn't been competitive in a while, and number two, when he was competitive, he didn't win very often. So,
you know, it'd be good to have him on a Yamaha. He could be the blocker. I mean,
well, I'll just throw something out there. I'm going to say he's going to show up on a Suzuki next year.
Ooh, bold pick.
Yep.
I'm going to say Kawasaki World Superbike.
Well, that's a possibility. He could end up in World Superbike.
Yeah.
Because God knows there's not a lot of
teams
out there.
Maybe he's going to go to the Honda World Superbike.
Yeah, so, well.
So he can finish back there with, so that him and Kanye Jacobson can race and Kamiye.
Ooh.
For like 40th place.
Oh, God.
It's not that we're picking on our Americans. We're just annoyed at the bike.
Yeah, I don't know. Danny Pedrosa's not a bad rider, but I don't know. Do you hire somebody that you really know is not going to win a race on the best
bike like
in there?
70?
Yeah, right. He's like 70.
Yep. He's like 30. I don't know. He's got to be 30-something.
That's his weight.
I don't think he weighs 30 pounds.
I don't know.
He weighs like 15 kilos. Well, I'm not even sure what that is.
They hose him down before the races to get him up to 30.
Yeah, right? Like, you figure he should win every race. He probably has like a 40-pound weight advantage.
Oh, easily.
Easily.
Easily. But he's only like 3'2", so.
Yeah, I'm surprised he
race
can't
for
hit
the little people.
All right, we'll be back next week.